Blog Talk Radio.
The Four Persons Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com.
Go ahead, Terry.
Are we on?
We're on.
Hello, everybody. This is Terry coming to you while I'm riding down the highway. And tonight we're going to be discussing the evil scourge that is plaguing the world, but particularly our society here in America, and that is the murder of innocent babies. I've invited several people to call in, but for whatever reason, this particular topic, when I do a show on it, I don't get a lot of participation in it. And I think it's because I mean, everybody, when the topic comes up in conversation, we as Catholics are of course against it, right? But I
of
don't
course
think
we are.
That we don't realize how deeply the devil has gotten into our society and kind of made us complacent when it comes to the defense of these innocent babies, right? And I want to start off with some good news. Richard has a case that was just recently decided in Alabama. And it's always good to start off with the good news. Richard, you want to read on that case?
Yeah, this is the case of LePage versus the Center for Reproductive Medicine, PC, and Mobile Infirmary Association, doing business as Mobile Infirmary Medical Center. And basically, the Center for Reproductive Medicine and the Mobile Infirmary are in vitro fertilization clinics, and it looks like I think that one caller is you. It says up here on switchboard, I got one caller. I think that's you.
Yeah, the 713, that's me, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, and this is an appeal from the Mobile Circuit Court, which is down south of Alabama, down south Mobile, Alabama, on the coast. The hometown of one of my heroes, Henry Aaron.
Okay.
And this is basically, this case holds, and it's a 50-page long case. So this would be a lot to read in one sitting. But this case holds that embryos have the same rights as children, that they are not an exception to the they are not an exception to the Alabama Wrongful Death of a Minor Act, which is codified at Alabama, the 1975 Alabama Code 6-5-391, and this decision came down February 16th of 2024. So it is a really, really new case.
Oh, okay. And I mean, I would like to add to that, you know, because, of course, a lot of our southern states are passing laws to protect children. But I would like to go a little bit further, because they're also not an exception when it comes to the Constitution. When it comes to the document before the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, which says that every man has a right given to them by God, that not by law, not by Congress, not by any earthly power, but by God, the right for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, you can't have liberty and the pursuit of happiness without life. And I think it's when we look at those words, that every man is endowed with inalienable rights by his creator, namely the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean, that, wouldn't you agree that would also include babies inside the womb?
Yes, it definitely includes babies outside the womb. It includes babies in the womb. It includes any embryo anywhere in the state of Alabama right now.
That's right.
They
I'm glad that they're finally putting those natural laws, God-given laws, into our societal laws, right? Because there's some laws that are just natural law that God gives to all men, and I'm glad that we're finally, you know, recognizing natural law and starting to pass it, because like the right to life, it is illegal to murder somebody, and it's illegal for a reason. It's illegal because that goes against the natural law. I mean, even when you look at the transgender nonsense that's going on, you're old enough to remember. I was a little boy when MASH was a TV show, and I used to watch it as a little boy. And there was a character on there. I think his name was Klinger. And he wanted to prove that he was crazy. And so he dressed up like a woman trying to prove that he was crazy, because only a mentally ill person would do that, right? It goes against natural law. And back then, everybody agreed that, yeah, if you did that, you were off your rocker. Something was wrong with you. Nowadays, I kind of wanted to get into this a little bit too, Richard. See, Paul tells us in Scripture, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of wickedness in high places, right? So there's this spiritual battle is taking on a physical manifestation, and the way that happens is people listen to the whispering, to the manipulation of demons. People listen to it, and then they start acting it out. Unfortunately, within our law-giving establishment, the legislature, the Congress, one political party in particular, the Democrat Party, they have so many puppets of Satan who are just listening to the rumors of the darkness of this world and using the spiritual battle and physically manifesting it with laws that are being placed on the books. One of those laws was Roe v. Wade back in 1973. All praise be to God that law was overturned. But
absolutely.
Also, we as Catholics, I mean, I know I do, whenever I go to Mass, after I receive the Eucharist, one of the prayers I say is, Lord, I have received you. Please allow your light to shine through me onto everyone that I come into contact with. I want to be a tool for God, you know what I mean? And I believe that most Catholics want to do the will of God. The same way that there's only two sides, right?
Exactly.
Light and dark, right and wrong. There's only two sides. So people who are working for the devil might call it something else, you know what I'm saying? But there's only two sides. You're either working for God or you're working for Satan. And I hate to say this, but it seems like the people who are working for Satan are putting in overtime, whereas those of us that are working for God don't put in enough hours, don't put in enough work. We're not weak. We have a strong majority voice. Sometimes they call us the silent majority because we don't get out and scream, you know?
And that's a big problem, is we don't.
It is a big problem, especially when it comes to abortion. They put these abortion bills up in these different... I live in Ohio now, and they had not too long ago, issue number one, and it was basically a bill to completely legalize abortion, and it had a bunch of pork fat on it to, a teacher can get a kid to take gender-transforming drugs without notifying the parent. I mean, there's all kind of wickedness in there. And the left, the puppets of Satan, were very loud, very vocal in getting the vote out for this issue number one. And it's happening all across the country. And we as Catholics, we're not putting in enough work. We need to be asking, what is the will of God? We know that it is not the will of God that babies should die. We know that this is a grave moral evil that needs to be stopped. We know this, but we're not acting on it. I mean, if there was a group of people going around murdering, you know, 2 to 8-year-old kids, just slaughtering them all over, man, we would be in an uproar. There would be, I mean, we would take to the streets. We would, you know, do whatever was within our power to make sure that these people were brought to justice. And I think we've become complacent. We're not. We vocalize it, subconsciously realize that a baby in the womb is a baby. We understand it, but we've become complacent. So now the murder of a 4-year-old little baby to us is somehow a graver sin than the murder of an innocent baby within the womb, when it's not. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. And we should be just as outraged, and we should make our voice heard wherever we go. Like I said, there's a physical manifestation of evil. Well, we can also do a physical manifestation of God's righteousness here on earth. Does that make sense, Rich?
It makes absolutely perfect sense.
One of the things I've been doing here lately, there's an abortion clinic. The address is 1401 East Stroop, Stroop, East Stroop Street in Dayton, Ohio. And I haven't been working, so every day that I could, I would go out there and pray the rosary in front of that clinic. I teamed up with some people with the 40 Days of Life, and they've been going out there. But there's been plenty of times when I've been out there by myself, when it was pouring down rain, I was out there. It got cold up here in Ohio, and the pipes froze at that abortion clinic. So, you know, they were shut down for a little while. And but I was still out there praying, and the reason I was praying, even though nobody was there, is because it's a spiritual battle first and foremost. And the same thing on both sides, good and evil. It's a spiritual battle first and foremost. There's angels and demons fighting over this in the spiritual realm. But the way it becomes physical is when we on the good side or they on the evil side listen to, you know, they listen to demonic influences and we listen to godly influences. And we start bringing the manifestation of either evil or good to bear here on earth. Because this earth right now is just a battleground. And again, I hate to say it like this, but right now, I mean, the Bible tells us in the end Jesus is going to come and he's going to annihilate the enemy. So we are going to be victorious in the end. But right now, man, we're losing a lot of ground in this spiritual warfare, especially on the physical plane, because we've allowed the tools of Satan to have allowed us. They're less than us in numbers. They're way less than us, but they have a louder voice. They are more bold than we are, and we've allowed them to get into our legislative body, to get into our Congress, to the executive branch, to the judicial branch, and now the devil is having his way with what was once one nation under God. What do you think about that, Richard?
I think you're absolutely right. What we have effectively become at this point is two different countries. We've become a conservative country, and we've become a progressive or liberal country.
Exactly. And I think we've got to wake up, man. We've got to wake up, and we've got to look at, like me, I've been voting Republican. I'm not Republican, though. I'm Catholic. I haven't voted in the primary at all because I'm not a registered Republican. I'm a Catholic, right? And I'm always going to vote how a Catholic should vote. For the last, you know, 10 years or so, that is for the conservative movement, because it's the conservatives who have been passing laws that are pro-life. It's conservatives that have been recognizing natural law. And if you're a Christian, if not just Catholic, if you're a Christian at all, natural law is like when you're going to school and you're learning how to add and subtract. It's the very principal foundation of humanity that make us, you know, good people, right?
Exactly.
And that natural law has got to be obeyed. When they start making laws that, you know, two people of the same sex can be involved in a marriage. Marriage is a holy sacrament in the church. Like, how did we get here? Again, the way we got here is that those listening to demonic forces are less in number than us, but are so much more louder, are so much more bold. And there comes a time when we got to say, okay, as for, I don't know about y'all, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We can't be quiet no more. We can't sit on the sidelines no more. We have got to stand up and we might be ridiculed or canceled by the left or canceled by big tech. But we got to stand up and speak the truth of Jesus Christ. And we shouldn't accept any less. I think that's kind of where we're at now. We've allowed ourselves to be out-shouted, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, and you're absolutely right. We have allowed the left and those that support abortion to, number one, take the most sacred words in the world, this is my body, and turn it into something that is an abomination. And we have allowed them to get loud and shout us down. And our complacency borders on sin, because if we continue to be complacent, excuse me, then we are going to be supporting their sin.
Exactly. You know, I was, this is there, when that issue number one was up for fixing to be voted on, we had a priest at my church, and I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to get him in any trouble, but this priest, he said, if you vote for the passing of this bill, then you are committing a grave mortal sin. If you don't vote at all, you are still committing a grave and mortal sin. I would like to go a step further. If you're a Catholic right now, not always and not in all of history, talking about right now in the environment that we're in right now, if you're Catholic right now and you vote Democrat, you are committing a grave and mortal sin.
Exactly.
Again, that's not all throughout history, and that's not saying that a good Democrat will never raise up. I don't know. I'm saying right now, if you vote Democrat, you are committing a grave and mortal sin, because they are pushing abortion as an agenda. As an agenda on their political platform is the murder of babies.
Exactly.
Can't vote for that and be Catholic.
You know, I've said for a long time, if you're Catholic, you cannot be a Democrat. You can't. They are mutually exclusive.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm kind of new, like maybe the past 7 years, I've kind of started looking into politics. So I'm kind of new to it. That's why I put that caveat on there that I wasn't speaking for all of history, because I don't know. But, I mean, when you look in the history books, you do see that the Democrat Party was behind the Ku Klux Klan. You do see that the Democrat Party was behind racial segregation. You do see some of the comments that Lyndon B. Johnson made. But I just don't have enough, you know, I wasn't involved as much as I am now. And I'm involved now because I'm an abortion abolitionist. I want this evil to be completely abolished. I want abortion to be viewed as it is, and that is murder. If you go commit a murder right now, you know that there are consequences. And that's how it should be with abortion. And another thing I would like to add is we need to work on getting our Congress to make life easy. What I mean by that is make so right now it is incredibly difficult to adopt a child, right?
Exactly.
You can go get an abortion almost anywhere. If it's illegal in your state, you just drive a few hours, cross lines, and boom. It's easy to get an abortion, but hard to adopt a baby. What kind of sense does that make?
It doesn't make any kind of sense. They're trying to make sure that you're not going to hurt that baby, but if you're sitting there applying to adopt a child, you're not going to hurt that child.
Right. Well, you know, it costs like $42,000 on average to adopt a child. It costs, I don't know for sure, but like $100-$200 to go have an abortion. If you can't afford it, they'll give it to you for free. That needs to be changed, man.
Needs to be changed big time.
If adoption was as easy as abortion, a lot of these ladies wouldn't kill their babies. A lot of them would give their child up for adoption to a family that's going to raise it and give it a good life, you know. And then especially when you think about how many geniuses have been killed in the womb, you know, how many inventions has humanity missed out on because the baby that was going to invent that was killed in the womb.
How many good presidents have we lost because he was killed in the womb?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
How many Ronald Reagans have we lost?
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, Ronald Reagan is the one that pointed out, have you ever noticed that everyone that supports abortion has already been born?
That's a good one. Yeah.
That was Reagan.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that everybody that supports abortion has already been born? I'm pretty sure those children in the womb have not decided to support abortion.
Right.
I'm pretty sure of that. And I'm pretty sure that the embryos in Alabama don't support abortion.
You know, I want to speak on that, too, because the Catholic Church is against that in vitro fertilization. It's
correct.
Against the faith. One of the reasons why is because what's happening is just like the original sin. In the original sin, one of the things that Satan said to Eve was, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. You'll be like God. And so with our technology, we're trying to be like God. We are trying to create life. Now, I know we can't. We can't create life from scratch, which is, I mean, it's just the idea that they're going that far to try to do this outside of the natural realm, again, goes against natural law and is just pointing to the satanic influence taking place in our society right now. You know?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
I was arguing with somebody, Ron, I think, I forget it, on Facebook, because he said he thinks, and the church has given a little bit of leeway to your creationist belief. As long as you believe God created man, it kind of gives you a little bit of leeway, right? You don't have to believe it happened exactly like this or that. But me, myself, I believe it happened exactly the way it's written in Scripture. And so we were going back and forth about it. And I said, yeah, it's in Genesis 2:7. He said, it's not written exactly how God created man. I said, yeah, it's in Genesis 2:7. It's spelled out exactly the way he did it. He said, but how did he do it? Tell me how so that I can do it in the lab. I was like, why would you want to copy God? That is the original sin. Well, it goes back to this IVF stuff. Why would you want to create a child outside of the womb? Well, it goes back to the original temptation to be like God, you know?
And exactly.
Exactly. You know, one of the sins that I confess a lot is pride, and I never really noticed until I, you know, started trying to be holy, going to Mass every day that I'm able to, and Eucharistic adoration and stuff. And I realized just how prideful I am. It's not noticeable to others, but it's noticeable to me. And I think every human being has, you know, pride is probably, it's the first seven. Well, that sense of pride to want to be like God is what caused the fall of mankind. Pride is what caused us all to speak different languages. The pride of man to want to build a tower that would reach into heaven. Tower of Babel, right?
Exactly.
And it's pride that causes people to want to kill their children for the sake of convenience. And the only thing that combats pride is humility. And I've personally been making myself just tell complete strangers God bless you, or you know, just publicly making sure I let everybody know that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, because one, sometimes it's sometimes you know, can be a little bit humiliating, especially when you know you're doing it to somebody who's going to ridicule you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that intentional self-humility is the only thing that's going to combat pride. You know, and pride, it's like getting bit by a brown recluse, you know? A little bitty bite, but man, it can be a giant wound, you know.
That's absolutely true.
And And that's what we got to be on guard against. Well, we as Catholics, we gotta be on guard against self. Paul said that I died to myself daily. He said I died to myself daily. That little sentence says a lot, because it's the worship of self. Remember, there's only two. You're either with God or you're with the devil. When you say I'm for self, well, you're for the devil. And we got to fight against self. We got to fight against self, against pride, against self, exercise humility, and just submit ourselves to the will of God. If you are in church asking God, Lord, allow me to do your will, Lord, allow me to be a tool for you, then you need to be willing, when he calls, to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You know, when he says, who shall I send? We want to be the one that says, here I am, Lord, here I am. Send me. And many of us, you know, I mean, some of the southern states are really blessed, again, because abortion and abortion clinics are getting shut down left and right in the South. Praise be to God. Those of us in the Midwest, on the East Coast, on the West Coast, wherever you live in those areas, all you got to do is map it, dude. I guarantee you, within 30 minutes, there's an abortion clinic. And you don't need a prayer group. You don't need a large posse of Christians. You can go out there with your rosary all by yourself and do battle with Satan.
Exactly.
I mean, if you can round up a posse, great. But if you can't, hey, what did you remember the story of Elijah and Elisha? I'm not sure I'm pronouncing the other guy's name right. But Elijah, they were surrounded by a military force. And Elijah's servant was just terrified. He was just terrified. And Elijah said a prayer, and he was like, Lord, open his eyes and let him see what I see. And his eyes were open, and he seen armies, legions of angels standing there ready to defend Elijah. We can't always see what's happening in the spiritual realm. But I guarantee you, the armies of God, St. Michael, the Archangel, the Blessed Virgin Mary, they're way more powerful and more numerous than any demonic army that's going to be there.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right.
And the hardships that we undergo for God, oh man, I wish John was on, because John is an expert in these indulgences. He can break them down to the point. I'm not an expert, but I'm sure whenever you experience a hardship or a tribulation because you're serving Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, you're getting grace galore.
You're absolutely right about that as well. In fact, I was just looking at earlier today at my brochure on the brown scapular.
Got mine on right now.
I don't go anywhere without it. Did you know that every time you kiss scapular. You get a 500-day indulgence.
I did not.
Every time you kiss that scapular, you get 500 days off of your time in purgatory.
Wow.
So you kiss it four times, that's 2,000 days off.
Wow. Okay. I did not know that. I just got one a few months, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago. And had the priest do the blessing for me and everything.
And the investiture with it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've been wearing mine for close to 2 years.
See, Richard, I try to remind myself whenever I think, I look at my actions regularly, and because I always try to. I want to be the best I can be for God, and I always try to think back. Okay, man, when I was a gang member, man, I was willing to die for the gang. I was willing to kill for the gang. I was willing to do another prison sentence for the gang. Now that I'm a Christian, my intensity for Christ has got to be 100 times more than what it was for the gang. Of course, my principles are different because everything I do, I want to make sure that this is exactly what Jesus would do, right? Everything that I do, I want to make sure that I'm following in the footsteps of our early church fathers and of the 2,000 years of the deposit of Catholic faith that we have. But I'm just like I wasn't worried about if it was just me, and it was 5 or 6 guys that I had to fight, and I wasn't worried about getting that butt whooping. Well, it's the same thing in serving Christ. I can't be worried about what might happen. I just got to do it and trust in God that no matter what happens, He's going to give me the strength to endure the adversity. And if I'm killed, then I will be rewarded. If you die a martyr's death, you will miss purgatory. You will go straight to heaven if you die a martyr's death.
Yes,
so,
you will.
You know, regardless of self, again, fighting self, self-preservation is another form of you know, us wanting to maintain ourselves. Well, Paul says, I die daily. Every day I die to myself. And that's what we got to do. We got to sometimes throw self-preservation out the window. If there's an opportunity for us to stand in the gap and pray for unborn children in the womb, then we need to be willing to do it, you know?
Absolutely. Let's stand in the gap for them for a quick second and pray a Hail Mary for them. All
yes,
the unborn
sir.
Children in the world.
Let's do
you
it.
Want me to pray? You want to pray it in English or you want me to pray it in Latin?
Oh, man, please pray it in Latin.
Ave Maria, grazie, in nominis Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in ora mortis nostrae. Amen. In nomine Patri et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Amen. Man, you got to teach me how to do that, brother.
I can teach you the Latin.
Yes, sir.
I can teach
yes,
you the
sir.
Latin. That's easy, but let's get back on topic.
Yes, sir.
We got about 15 minutes left.
Well, again, I'm a little disappointed when I do these shows and people don't call in. And I think it's just we're missing that sense of urgency. I think we're just missing that sense of what it means to kill a baby. Again, we in conversation, we all like, oh yeah, that's wrong. It's terrible. This and that. But what are we doing in our day to day lives to combat it?
We're
and
doing
I mean,
nothing.
Everybody can't be on the front lines. I get it. But what I mean, are we praying a rosary for these babies? Are we doing anything? You know.
Well, now the Knights of Columbus have a couple of different programs. One is the ultrasound program where we pay for ultrasound machines in pregnancy centers throughout the country.
That's awesome.
And I think we've got about 8 or 12 of them in Alabama right now.
And then
The second program is ASAP. And basically, we give aid and support after pregnancy. So we're helping women to keep their babies. And maybe we're helping them find housing, and maybe we're giving them a little bit of money and things like that. And we're hoping that this will encourage women to at least go through with the pregnancy and then maybe give up the baby if they don't want it.
For adoption, yeah.
You know, but we're trying to convince
young
pregnant ladies to have their baby. And that's what the Knights of Columbus are doing. And that is standing in the gap.
That is standing in the gap, yeah. One of the biggest lies that the left puts out there is that Catholics are pro-birth, not pro-life. That is ridiculous. When you look at all of the programs that the Catholic Church has available, from the Knights of Columbus to St. Vincent de Paul, all of the programs that the Catholic Church has to assist, poor families, it's just absolutely ridiculous. We are pro-birth. We are also pro-life, 100%. From the womb to the tomb.
Exactly. For the same reason we don't support capital punishment.
And euthanasia. Well, the
exactly.
Capital punishment thing is kind of depends on the society, where you're at, and the technological advancements. Like, every country is not able to lock somebody away for the rest of their life.
Right, but as a generalized rule, the Catholic Church is against capital punishment.
Right.
You know, and I get it. There are some countries that can't keep people in jail for 60, 70, 80 years. I get it.
Right.
But as a general rule,
people don't live
60, 70, 80 years on death row.
True, yeah.
You know, now, the downside is that if you're in prison, you can't get your Social Security. Well, I think that needs to be changed. If you're in prison, your Social Security should go to the jail that is holding you.
That's interesting. But I mean, it's we are pro-life, and that includes, like I said, the birth of babies, all the way up to, like, I forgot what country it was, just passed some euthanasia law for assisted. You know, we are against all of that. We are pro-life and pro-holy life too. Let me just add that. The Catholic Church does everything we can to help. Oh my goodness! To help young. To help people live a holy life. That's what the sacramental life of the church is all about. Is to help people live holy lives. You know, to get to heaven. We don't want nobody to go to hell.
Well, that's exactly it. We want to see everybody in heaven.
Right.
Which is why
God does not will that any man should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life through Christ Jesus, his son. The thing is, God don't send no one to hell. People send themselves there.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that's why I preach the sacrament of confession in every single Catholic social group that I am part of. I love the sacrament of confession. I try to go once a week myself.
Yep, I go often, not once a week, usually probably about twice a month.
I'm a sinner. I have to go a lot.
Yeah. I told my buddy that one time. He was like, dude, why do you go to church all the time? You don't have to go all the time. I was like, dude, you've known me for a long time, and I ain't never disagreed with y'all when you said I got a few screws loose. Well, I go to church to get them tightened back up.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly right.
When I go to church, church is my happy place.
Yeah.
That is where I feel the most peace and the most love.
And the most love.
In 800 feet, keep left to continue on I-80 West.
Don't forget to get on the I-80
West.
I just thought I'd throw that out there for you.
Man, there's so much traffic, dude. I'm talking to you, but I'm, like, so distracted because it's like, man, it's like.
Well, you need to pay attention to your driving, so I get it that you're distracted. But,
Well, I tell you what, would you like to go ahead and close us with a.
Yeah, let's do that.
Alrighty.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Lord, we come to you, sorrowful and sinful, and we know that we don't deserve to ask you for anything, but we ask you tonight
to reach down
to that young lady who is on the verge of getting an abortion. And we ask you to comfort her and to guide her
to not have that abortion.
And we ask you
to show her
your love. And to show her,
that she'll be okay,
and that her baby will be okay, and that they will be taken care of
some kind of way.
And Lord, we ask this in your name because
we know
that you will do this, and we know that you will grant this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Saint Boniface,
pray for us.
Pray for us.
All right, let's call it a day, brother.
All right, God bless you, Richard. Thanks
God
for
bless you.
Standing
God
in you. With me. I really appreciate it.
All right, I'm going to end the episode.
Thank you, brother. All right, God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless.